what's going on tonight is the youth have a thing called Wild Card Wednesday, and it's a surprise on who the speaker is going to be. And so tonight, Dad is the youth pastor, all right? And so he's going to probably say, because I've been there in the youth group and been there as youth minister, whenever he would come and talk about the words that were famous, you know, whenever he was a kid, like daddy-o and, you know, and things like that. And he'll talk about, what was the other word? Well, what's the skinny? And he talked about how they wore like white t-shirts and penny loafers and all kinds of stuff like that. You know, I can't relate, you know. But if you saw some of the things that we wore in the 80s, I mean, yeah, it was pretty wild, you know. But at least my shoes would actually go good in the 80s. I mean, they're fluorescent green, and you know, but it is what it is. And in fact, someone today was wearing a sweater. And I said, I used to have a bunch of those, like back in the 90s or whatever. He goes, yeah, I got it. Someone gave it to me, and it's coming back in style. So it's like, so you know, if you keep things long enough, if you can still fit in them, they'll come back in style. So since I'm actually going to preach this week, and then next week they're doing crusade up, and you're in Michigan, both places, or just... Okay, Michigan and Illinois, and so I'll be ministering next Wednesday. So I decided to do a two-part series on the subject of love, primarily the love of God. All right, so we're going to do a two-part series on love, and I guess if I don't finish the two-part series, maybe we'll do a three-part series on love. I don't know. Actually, this is taken from my class where I teach 4 weeks, so I got in. It's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so we can go a long ways if you want to really go in more in depth. You know, we can do a 20-part series and that kind of stuff, but I don't feel like going 20 parts. You know, I get bored sometimes. You know, get ADD or something like that. So, all right. So I'm going to start off in the scripture I think is the most important about love, and that's John 3:16. John 3:16, and you know, I always bring this up to any time that I minister on this scripture. This is the first scripture that I ever remembered as a memory verse. All right, and we were in Southside Assembly. My mom's dad's, you know, my grandfather on my mom's side, his church, and I happened to be there 2 weeks in a row because sometimes my parents would drop me off there and never pick me up for a while. And you know, no. There was a few times that they, I mean, they might have been in Hawaii, I can't remember, but I was there for two straight Sundays, which was great. I'm never using any place for two Sundays in a row. When I was at that age, it seemed like that every time I was there, one Sunday I'd be here, next Sunday I'd be across the country somewhere else. But I was there for two Sundays in a row, so I was able to memorize a memory verse and get a sucker or whatever the next week. So, you know, it was good. And so the first memory verse I ever remembered that I memorized was John 3:16. Of course, I read it or memorized it as the King James Version, but we're going to read it from the New King James Version tonight. Actually, we're going to also look at the New Living Translation. But it says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Now, notice the first part of this that says, "For God so loved the world." And so, see, Jesus coming to this earth was to emulate how much God loved the world. I mean, God loved the world so much, he gave us Jesus to redeem us, you know, from our sin. But also, you know, God's a lot like my dad. He likes to do things extra. You know, because not only did Jesus redeem us from our sin and give us eternal life, he also took the stripes on his back, and by his stripes we were healed. I mean, think about what would your life be if Jesus never came? You know, and here's the thing. I know it's hard to really think like this because it's hard to think of a world where no one lives unless you happen to end up like the movie Castaway where you're on an island by yourself, you know. But where all you have is a volleyball as a friend or something like that. But you know what? God loves you so much, if you were the only person in the world, he still would have sent Jesus. And I mean, I want you to think about, that's how much your God loves you. That's how much God loves you, that he would have sent Jesus just for you. You know, because a lot of times when they say, well, yeah, he sent Jesus to the whole world. Yeah, but we need to put it down to he also sent him for you. He sent him for you. And so sometimes we don't realize how much God loves us. I want to read from the New Living Translation because I like it. This says this, for this is how God loved the world. Here's how he loved the world. See, he loved the world. You know, sometimes we can love people. Now, it's one thing to tell someone, hey, I love you, brother. Another thing to show your love. You know, the one way you can show your love is maybe monetarily or take them out to dinner. Or you can help them move. Do you realize that they say that you can really tell whether you actually have a really good friend? Because a really good friend will help you move. A really great friend will help you move twice. I know, you know, I know one individual who helped this other individual move twice and says, you know, within a 1 year period, okay, they moved here and moved there. And he goes, I'm not going to help you move again for a few more years. So, you know, just don't call me. So I actually did this. Maybe this isn't the thing to do, but one time somebody asked me to help me move, help them move. So I gave them a couple $100 to hire someone in my place. I said, this should be enough to hire a Rhema student, you know, that really needs the money. They can come. This is how much I love you. I love you so much that you can probably hire someone that will do more work than I will. You know, maybe you can hire two. I don't know. You know, I gave him $200 to move. So I'm not going to give you $200. Don't tell me, well, Craig, I'm moving. Can you give me $200? No, I'm not going to. All right. But for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son. I mean, his only son. You know, and actually today happens to be, I happen to have more than one son. I have three natural sons, and I have three stepsons and a stepdaughter, seven of us, one more than a Brady Bunch. And so today happens to be my oldest son's birthday. All right, you know, and you know what? I have more than one son, but I would never give up any of them for you, even though I love you that much, all right? But God loved us that much that he gave up his one and only son. Why did he do that? So that everyone who believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. God loved you so much that he wanted to make sure that you live forever. You know, but here's the thing, is you have a choice in life whether you're going to accept him as your Lord and Savior or not to accept him as your Lord and Savior. It's your choice. You know, and people say, well, that's not fair. Why do I have a choice? Well, you can talk to your relatives about that. You know, your great, 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 however many great grandfather and grandmother, Adam and Eve, they decided to give you that choice. Now, they didn't decide on their own. They also had this one guy, the liar guy, you know, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was back there in the Old Testament, and he lied to them. And because of they ate from that tree, see, before they ate from the tree, they were all children of God. They didn't have to choose. God chose them. They were made in the image of God. Everything was hunky-dory. And you realize the Garden of Eden was the closest thing to heaven you'll ever see on the earth? And they messed up. And we can all relate because we've all messed up. I know you want to gripe at them from eating of the apple and now that you have to toil all the days of your life or whatever you have to do. But the thing about it is we've all messed up. And then if you want to gripe at them, we can all gripe at you. He without sin cast the first stone. But because Adam and Eve messed up, that God had to devise a plan, and that plan was to send his only begotten son that he loved, but he loved us so much, he sent Jesus to rectify that situation. And now we have a choice whether to accept him or not to accept him. That is our choice. So I want to encourage you today to make the right choice. All right. Choose Jesus and choose love. It goes on verse 17 to say, God sent his son into this world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. So Jesus wasn't sent here to be a judge. Now, a lot of Christians believe that they're here to be a judge, but we're not here to judge people. We're here to love people. Goes on to say that there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And so you know what? You don't have to rub it into these people who don't believe. All right? You don't have to judge them because God's already judged them because they didn't believe. Now, what we should do is we should show the love of God to this lost and dying and hurting world. And by us showing the love of God, people will want to believe, because you know what? If you're as miserable as they are, why would they want to accept your Jesus? Now, the Bible clearly says that Jesus says, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. You know, and so, I mean, the Father, you know, the Son always, the Son always showed the love of God, so we know it's about God's love. In fact, Jesus always showed love to everybody. Even the people that we don't think that he should have loved, he loved anyhow. I mean, how many times that it says that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and other people you see, you know, all those you see people, the you see people would get mad at Jesus because he said, well, why would you hang out with that prostitute? You know, why would you hang out with that drunken person? Why would you want to go to Zacchaeus' house, you know, that crooked tax collector? I'm not saying all tax collectors are crooked. You know, so if IRS visits your house, don't say, well, you're a crooked. No, I didn't say that. But in those days, he was a crook. But God loves you in spite of your mistakes, and so does Jesus. And Jesus emulated that love. And I want to emulate the same kind of love that Jesus emulated. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you came from. I don't care your background, your foreground. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you live in the gutter or you live in the White House. I feel that God has called me to talk to you, to speak to you, to show forth his love to you, no matter who you are. And I believe that if we really understand the love of God, that we'll love everybody regardless, because you know what? We are all made in the image of God. Do you realize that we were all born and made in the image of God? So when I look in the mirror, I'm like, man, I see God's image. You say, well, yeah, but you look different than I do. And well, you know what? Think about this. And my sister said the other day, what if everyone was just like you, looked like you, act like you? The world would be boring. You would have none of me's and only a bunch of you's. You know, but we all, you know, we all look different sometimes and act different sometimes, but we're all still made in the image of God. And see, sometimes what we don't see, because even people that are maybe not living their potential that God has for them, they do have a potential. I mean, they were made in the image of God. They were made to live out their potential. But if we look at them and we judge them based upon what we see, we judge people based upon the outside. But the Bible says to not judge people based on the outside is that we should judge, I mean, we should see them based upon their heart. And inside their heart, maybe it's, you know, if you watch a lot of those Disney movies, maybe deep down there, inside somewhere, is some kind of spark of godliness that could come out. And really, a lot of times that we help determine somebody, whether they want to become a Christian or don't want to become a Christian. Because I'm going to tell you, you know, if I wasn't a Christian, you know, and I made it 51 years without being a Christian, if I hung around some people, not people here in this church, and maybe probably not anybody even watching our program, but if I was to hang around some people, I might not want to be one of you. You know, and I've actually thought about this sometimes. I mean, you know, some of us, and I know we're just being, you know, living life or whatever, but and I've even seen some people even post it on Facebook. Well, want another crummy Monday. You know, going to work on another crummy Monday. I'm sure that they were very pleasant that day at work. And this person that posted this, I'm not making, if it was you, I'm not, please, I'm not really making fun of you, you know, And there was probably a lot of people on this last Monday or the Monday before that that posted that. So you're not the only one. So I'm not trying to judge you. I'm just trying to say a lot of times, you know, by our attitudes, I mean, you know, we're like, man, is this guy really a Christian? He's always in a bad mood. I mean, how can you be in a bad mood? You realize we have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us at all times? You know, and if you say, well, I'm tired. Well, we have that scripture. He says, quicken our mortal bodies. The same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead can wake you up from your sleep. All right? Some people say, well, I got to have coffee. Well, no, you don't. Now, you can have coffee if you want to have coffee, but you don't have to have coffee. You don't have to have anything. You have all you need in Jesus Christ. You know, and my message is going a little further than I want to, but the Bible talks about we have the love of God shed abroad in our heart. I mean, we have the Spirit of the living God. What we have on the inside of his love. Now, you know, this makes me think of my grandfather, and, you know, he had many different visions, you know, and some of them he saw Jesus. And so I know that he, you know, I've heard him speak a number of times where someone asked him, well, what did Jesus look like? Does he really look like the paintings and the pictures that we see? And he said, I don't really know. I couldn't get over his eyes. And they said, well, what about his eyes? And he says, his eyes look like pools of living love. You know, pools of living. And when I heard that thing, I mean, I want my eyes to be like pools of living love. I want when people look at me that they see the Jesus on the inside of me. I mean, you know, pools of living. So really, if Jesus Christ dwells on the inside of you, that means you have pools of living love dwelling on the inside of you. Now, some of you need to stir up those pools. You know, maybe you need to get the whirlpool, you know, on the inside, you know, get those jets moving, you know, because the living love is there. It's just not coming out. All right. I mean, you know, you have the potential to have pools of living love. But see, here's the thing. I mean, in life, that we can let the love come out or we can let human nature come out. You know, and here I'm here to tell you, you can be the best Christian in this place, and sometimes human nature will come out. All right, and I'm not trying to judge you about that. Sometimes that we say stupid stuff, sometimes we do stupid stuff, and sometimes we're so stupid we actually post it online. Hopefully you can delete it before too many people see it. You know, there's one time that you wish you don't have too many followers or too many friends or too many whatever because you're like, you know. Now, what I do a lot online is I don't really say a lot of stupid stuff because I usually think about it before I post it online. I might say a few stupid things, okay, so don't get mad at me if I do. What I do is I make grammatical errors. You know, I'm always, sometimes it's my fault, sometimes it's, you know, my computer's fault because I wanted to type in one word and it put another word in because I thought that was the word I was going to type in and I didn't type in that word. Or maybe, and so, like, you know, I want to type in God and it says got, you know, so, or whatever. So I'm always editing my posts because, you know, not because they're stupid, because I don't know how to spell, I guess. I don't know. So, but you know, sometimes we should think before we speak. You know, we should let the love of God come out instead of letting our human nature come out. All right, let's move on. Like I said, I want to talk about the greatest commandments in the law. And Matthew 22 talks about this. Matthew 22, and I'm going to read from the New King James Version, verse 36. It says this, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." So, you know, it's interesting because the first commandment is the law of love. That we should love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And, you know, I haven't talked to anyone that really has an issue with that commandment. Anyone here have an issue with that commandment? Anyone have problems loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind? I mean, no one's raising their hand. Most people don't have a problem. I call this a no-duh commandment. It's pretty obvious. As a Christian, you know, I think that we're all really good at following that commandment. You know, like, man, this isn't easy. It's easy to be a Christian. It's easy. I mean, who can't follow that one? I mean, God is love. We love God. Yes, we do. We love God. How about you? No, anyway, that's the love of God cheer that I just created here. Anyway, but everyone wants to stop at that one, and they don't want to go to verse 39. Verse 39 says this, and the second, see that gentleman said, well, God, I mean, well, Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? And he read the first commandment of the Ten Commandments, if you want to know where that is. And then he said, and the second one is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He says, you know what? It doesn't matter if you keep every other law. If you don't keep these two laws, every other law is worthless. Now, here's the thing about it is, I've heard many Christians that have actually came and talked to me and says, Craig, I have trouble with my love walk. Okay, let's take a test. You have a test and you have two questions. Do you realize if you get one wrong out of two, you know what that grade is? It's a 50%. Do you realize 50% is failing? So if you're having, if you have trouble with your love walk, then you're getting a failing grade. So you need to learn to recalculate. Now, some people say, well, this verse says I have to love people. It does not say you have to love people. Well, yeah, it does. It says to love your neighbor as yourself. No, this verse says you get to love people. You get to love people. And if you look at a different perspective, I God loves me so much, I get to show his love to everybody else. I get to love people. Now, something it also says is that you get to love people as much as you love yourself. Now, that's really big because there are some of you in this room, I'm not going to call you out. I could, some of you. You know, that you spend a lot of time looking yourself in the mirror and, you know, prompting yourself, looking at yourself, and you really, you know, some of you take the selfie of the day. You know, I've taken a few selfies myself, but I don't take one every day. You know, but I know there are some people, and sometimes they take it and tag me on this because they know I'm gonna talk about them, so they just tag me anyway. You know, they take their selfie of the day, you know, so obviously they have a love for themselves. And I think it's great to love yourself. But as much as you love yourself, you have to love everybody else with that same kind of love. And not that you don't have to, you get to. And why wouldn't you love them? Because you're a child of God. And God is love. And love is God. So you get to love people. You know, and some people, they've had trouble with that. And so when you start thinking about, hey, I get to love that person. But, you know, here's the thing. It's really easy to love people that love you back. But you get to love people that don't love you too. You know, how many times you're on the phone with someone, hey, you know, I love you, or I love you, man, or whatever. You know, I love you too. You know, but how hard, you know, easy is it whenever someone just calls you a blankety blank 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 to say, I love you too. I mean, you and mean it, all right? I mean, because there's sometimes we say things we don't really mean. We're just like, you know, whatever. We get to love people. And you know what? We get to love people in spite of their mistakes, in spite of their failures, because God loves us in spite of our mistakes and in spite of our failures. And see, if you're looking for someone perfect to love, you're not going to find them. That's why some of you can't get married. And I'm not picking on you, but you, because you can't find someone perfect, and maybe you'll figure out that you're not perfect either. And if you find someone perfect, they won't think you are. So anyway, just how things go. But we get to love people. And see, you know what? Whenever we see people for their potential and not see people for their mess ups, it's a whole lot easier to love them. You know, and I don't know about you. For me, I can't keep a grudge against anybody. It's not in me. It's not in my nature. Now, I'm not going to say that I haven't got mad at individuals or mad at statements that are being made, but I can't stay mad because, see, that's not my nature. I don't have that nature. I have the nature of Christ. And God didn't say, well, I'm going to love you as long as you're not mean and rude. But if you're mean and rude, you don't have to love them. I'm not going to love them. And we're all not going to love each other. No, it says that we get to love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. And so the more you love yourself, the more you get to love your neighbor. So now, why are people miserable? I'll tell you why people are miserable. I found out people are miserable because they don't love themselves. They're having issues with themselves. And you realize people take out self issues on other people. Whether we want to or not, what happens is whenever we're not happy, have you ever heard a statement, if mama's not happy, ain't nobody happy? I mean, you know, and there are situations, and I've seen it happen and probably even done it a few times. Ask my kids. You know, where I might come home, you know, from work and I'm mad about a situation or whatever, and I take it, you know, one of them says something, I snap at them, and I'm not even mad at them. I love my kids. All right? But because I came in already angry, then I displaced my anger on my children when they didn't deserve that. You know, and when we do that a lot, and you know, sometimes I wish. Now, I'm actually not that guilty of it because I'm smarter than the average bear, okay? But I wish that some of us were not allowed to touch our social media after we get angry about a situation. You know, because sometimes we say things, and it's really hard to take those things back. You know, and you know, I know, you know, but and that's why, you know what, it doesn't matter. I don't care. People, I mean, if you want to, get on your social media and trash me like crazy, and I'm still gonna call you and tell you I love you, because I do. You know, because it doesn't matter what you say. Nothing you can say can hurt me, but because, you know, it's not in my nature. Now, I might get mad for a short time. I mean, a short time, like a few minutes, maybe a day, but I can't hold a grudge. I know one time, I was at the mall one time, and I saw an individual who had said some mean things about me, just to be honest. And he doesn't know that I know he said those things. You know, I had multiple sources that told me that this person said something, and I kind of was mad at him. I'll be honest with you. So here I was. I walked out of JCPenney's. Woodland Hills Mall, right down the street, right here. Everyone knows Woodland Hills Mall is, know where JCPenney's is. So when I walked out of JCPenney's, I saw that individual, and the way they were facing the other way, so you realize that I never had to talk to that individual. In fact, my first thought was, I don't want to see that person. That was my natural thought. And then I let the love of God come out. You know, I'm like, you know, I mean, God started ministering to me. It says, if you don't talk to him, if you don't, you know, then you're always going to hold a grudge against him for whatever reason. So I made a beeline toward him. Now, he doesn't really know that I know anything he said. And I don't know. I mean, it was something, but there was something happened between me and showing up to where he was, that something on the inside just kind of like snapped or broke or whatever. And I walked up and I gave him a hug and I said, man, I love you. And I meant it. I meant it. Because you know what? I've known the guy for a long time and so when I said that, you know, I could tell that it kind of took him off guard because he was probably thinking, maybe he knows what I said or whatever, but it didn't matter. I don't care what he said. I don't care what he did. But, and it was interesting because I ran into that guy. Now, I ran into him over time, many times. But so I ran into him like 10 years later. It was interesting because he was talking about, he pulled out of his briefcase. Actually, I was in the airport. He pulled out of his briefcase my first book, The Power of God. And he says, Craig, I carry this little book with me everywhere I go. In fact, I keep it in my briefcase. I mean, I read it over and over and over again. So, my book, for whatever reason, keeps ministering to him. But you know what? If I wouldn't have shared the love of God to him, I don't know if my book would have been ministered to him, because he would think, man, I don't like this guy. I'm going to throw that book away, you know, whatever. You know, and I'm going to tell you, it was not an easy thing to do, but it was letting the love of God come out, you know, and there was a healing moment for me. You know, and maybe some of you guys need a healing moment. I've had people come and tell me, Craig, I said this about you, and I'm sorry. I'm like, I don't care. I mean, because I really don't. There's nothing you can say about me that's going to hurt me, you know, because I love you regardless. But that's the God kind of love. Now I'm so fortunate, you know, to live life the way I was, especially with my grandfather. My grandfather basically was my spiritual father, and he always emulated love so much in front of me that I can't think hatred. I can only think love. Now, I'm going to say, we all are human, and sometimes we get mad. You know, like Pete right here, you know, he drilled me with the football one time, and I wasn't really happy about it, you know. But by the end of the game, we were okay. I mean, he's still one of my best friends in life, you know. He was frustrated because I'm like, I'm wide open throwing the ball. So he threw me a 2-yard pass as hard as he could. You know, whatever. We still talk about it. He texted me about it the other day. So, you know, it doesn't matter. Sometimes we get frustrated with each other. You know, but man, don't stay mad. Get glad. That's a commercial. You know, we should be happy. You know, and I joke about this, but I'm serious. I said, I always go out to children's church. You know, when you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. And so there's some times where I start actually feeling like I'm not happy. And if I start clapping my hands, I'll start laughing. Because I start singing the song, you're happy, you know, and stomping my feet or clap your hands, stomp your feet. So maybe you should do that instead of getting on Twitter or Facebook and, you know, giving your rant or griping at people or whatever. I mean, you know, if we can see people, you know, for the kind of person that God wants them to be, it's a whole lot easier to be that way. Amen? You know, we need to let the love of God shed abroad in our heart. And, you know, and you should never be able to, you should never say that, well, I have trouble with my love walk. That's like I have trouble with my Jesus walk. I mean, how can we have trouble with our love walk when we have Jesus Christ on the inside of us? When we have the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us, how can we have trouble? Well, the reason we have trouble is we don't cast down our imaginations. We don't put our mind under. We want to give someone a piece of our mind instead of the mind of Christ. And that's when we have to renew our mind. That's when we have to think differently. You know, and it's so much better to walk in love. So homework for the week, all right? Homework for the week. There is going to be some point in time during this next week where you're going to have the opportunity to walk in love or not to walk in love. So do the Shakespeare thing, to walk in love or not to walk in love. That's the question. So when you get that opportunity, I want you to choose the right choice. I want you to walk in love. And if for some reason, for a moment, you choose the wrong choice, I want you to make amends for doing that wrong choice. And I want you to, and if you have to do what I did to go and hug somebody, I want you to mean it. Because some people can tell people they love them and they don't really love them. All right, but we can love people as Christ loved the church, and we can be an example of the living pools of living love from the inside of us coming out. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you for each and every person that's here in this room, each and every person that's watching us online. And Father God, we thank you that we will all exercise more the love of God than we've ever done before. And Father God, we thank you whenever we're facing situations where we have a choice to walk in love or not to walk in love, that we'll make the right choice, that we'll walk in love, that we'll emulate the love of God, and we'll let the love of God that's been shed abroad in our heart to come out. And we thank you, Father, for opportunities coming our way to minister to people who are hurting and then they need to feel the love of Jesus Christ. Father God, help us to fulfill the calling of this church to bring hope, help, and healing to our world around about us, and give us opportunities every day to be able to share the good news. Father God, we just thank you, we praise you, we magnify you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise God, you may, let's all stand up. Amen. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, whether it be salvation, whether it be healing, whether it be just, you know, prayer about some situation you're going through, we have some gentlemen over here, we have some ladies over there. And if you happen to be a lady, we encourage you to go to the ladies' side. Happen to be a gentleman, go talk to the gentleman. If you don't know what you are, we do have ushers that will help you and direct you to the place you need to go. If you're a first-time visitor, we're so glad to have you. I mean, you know, thank you for coming. You know, hopefully you can walk in love too. But you know, we want to thank you for coming, and we the connection team has some things for you, and I'm glad to have you here. Like I said, we're going to have part two next week. Maybe I'll have to ask for part three because I didn't really finish part one today, but that's okay. God still loves me. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, we'll see you right here Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them God loves me and I love you, and you're dismissed.